Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Push My Buttons Games podcast, episode 30, I think. We got an awesome show for you today. We're going to talk some D&D, we're going to talk some Baldur's Gate, lots of Yakuza, and Bay. It's Luke. I am back, and I'm joined with... Go ahead.
Me, Spectacular Panda Pat. Don't drink tea while you're supposed to talk next.
Okay, and Dungeon Master Mike, don't drink a tequila sunrise when you're supposed to talk next.
Yes, but do that because you don't want it to get watered down from your ice.
I don't have any ice. Ice shed weakness.
Wow.
And Captain Platinum's here.
He's here.
Beep boop beep computer.
That's what we're talking into. Okay, so instead of, we're going to kind of, I guess, mix it up a little bit from our normal, and instead of talking about...
We just got some games, highlights for you.
Yes, instead of talking about the games we were playing first, we're just going to jump into some new stuff that we find very interesting. Like the original Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance is getting a 4K re-release. It is widely regarded as a hack and slash action classic for PS2 and the original Xbox. And so it's getting the modern 4K re-release.
Diablo for consoles.
Not quite, but I can see where people think that there's a similarity. The thing about Dark Alliance, do you remember I think I've ranted about this twice, so I won't degrade the ears of our tens of listeners, but Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance was one of those games where it wasn't exactly related to the main Baldur's Gate series. It was adjacent, right? And so they took what was popular at the time, which, you know, would be Diablo 2 specifically, but they did do some changes. It's probably closer to Diablo 1. But it's pretty much, it's similar to Diablo.
The presentation is Diablo as well. But it also, you know what it makes me think of is like the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games a little bit. Like the
crawlers.
Early ones.
Yeah, Dungeon Crawlers.
So kind of a mix between those two. But we do have, there is also a new... The new game they're working on, Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance, that's going to carry on the series. The new Dark Alliance shifts the game perspective to behind the back third person, and it plays a little bit like the Gears of War series.
Yeah.
So that's
going to be interesting because it features Dritz and crew, if you're familiar with R.A. Salvatore's books.
I know those.
Yeah, so... and where I have no idea where Drist is at in his life, but it looks like it's going to be closer to his Icewind Dale adventures.
See, those are the ones I know.
Yeah, I know the first like five books. There is a pattern after like about book five where like the story just becomes repetitive. But I've heard that his later books, when he has standalone trilogies, those ones are really worth, like, those are different. Those are worth reading. And not that any of his books are not worth reading. But it looks, and I'm just going by sight, it looks like the Icewind Dale trilogy, which would be Crin Shinnabon, who was a villain in our campaign. Crin Shinnabon might be featured in it. That's just
Cinnabons.
Cinnabons. Floating Cinnabon. For those of you who don't know, Crin Shinnabon is an ancient sentient artifact in the Dungeons & Dragons world. It possesses... its possessors tend to be people that can wield some sort of magic. It greatly enhances your magic, but at the same time, it starts to corrupt you and control you. And so the first Dritz book featured Crin Shinnabon. Crin Shinnabon has made returns in various points in various games, but it's just a sentient artifact and it's evil. It looks like it may... Crin Shinnabon, my guess is that Crin Shinnabon will be featured in it, at least as a side quest.
And Another cool thing about that is, so it is going, it's launching on June 22nd, so about a month. And it will be available on Game Pass day of launch. And it will be cross-play supported across Windows, PC, and Xbox. So we can play together, Mike.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Yes. I'm very excited.
I really hope the best for that game.
And it also does come out on June 22nd for PS4 and PS5, but there is no cross-play to Xbox and PC.
Which I've heard that Sony charges companies to enable crossplay, which is bullshit. It
doesn't surprise me, though.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
But yeah. Jamie, did you ever play Baldur's Gate at all?
I have not. It's never been anything that's been in my wheelhouse.
Anytime this topic comes up, I can hear the eyes roll. And I'm in Baltimore.
So, before I forget, we have some new listeners that are fans of D&D and tabletop and stuff like that. So, wanted to give a shout out to Nick and Alana. This is they've been binging our episodes and they are caught up and they really like the D&D talk, so they probably really appreciated that video game / cool. Tabletop talk.
Thanks for joining, guys. You've increased our listener count by 66%. I really appreciate you.
Did you do that math in your head right there, Mike?
Right there.
Listen, he's Mike. He's also a human computer.
you remember that one time I got seriously drunk? I don't think it was a farewell party, but it might as well have been. I think we were all just getting together for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran a one-shot campaign completely plastered.
And he just got louder and louder.
I got louder and louder. But my math got sharper and sharper.
No, the best was when I realized that I'm playing D&D with a group of engineers because you guys were trying to figure out the velocity of some object and how it would actually work in a dungeon. And it had no bearing on what was going on. But,
oh, I remember that.
But
that
it caught your interest in you and the Uncanny Ryab for about 20. You guys almost busted out paper and pencils.
I think we did.
That sounds like something that DM Dungeon Master Mike and Uncanny Ryab would do.
Yeah, I busted out the physics equations for like velocity and acceleration.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but I remember we were in a dungeon and I'm like, okay, I really want to chop that guy's head off, but they're engineering out something that doesn't affect the battle whatsoever. They just want to see if they can figure it out. It was the mass of the tower. That's what it was.
The force. That's right. We were figuring out the damage. Okay, so
that's what it was.
There is this special item in Dungeons & Dragons for our listeners. It's a cube. And essentially, you press one side of it, and you roll the cube, and it turns into a giant tower. And the players quickly found out that they can use this to uppercut enemies.
Was it a dragon? I think it was a dragon, yeah.
The group summoned the tower, like, right beneath the chin of a dragon, and just uppercutted it. Just broke its jaw. And there was one point where, like, we were actually... I forget the exact scenario, but what we were trying to do is calculate the force.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, I was going to derive like an actual damage. Because you were simultaneously... That's what it was. You were simultaneously falling and you summoned the tower in a different direction.
Yep.
And I had no idea how to be like, what's the dice for this?
See, this was my role in D&D. I never had the magical items like that, but I'd look over to the person that did and be like, hey, you should punch it with the tower. I'm like, I can do that? And I was like, try it.
And there are rules where, like there's a side note, and it's like, this is for DMs only, but if your players decide to, like, hit someone with the tower, it deals this much D6 worth of damage. But when you throw in
the falling
simultaneously as you, like, launch a tower out of a plane of existence.
At a dragon that was being ridden by a dwarf. That's what it was.
That was reincarnated from a previous the dwarf it was a dwarf woman who was reincarnated from a guy who got stepped on
because by a dinosaur
because his curse was that no matter how many times he died, he was compelled to be reincarnated and chase you down. It was like he was under a spell. He was under the geese, so he had to like actually chase you. And yes, there's a spell called geese. They don't honk. It's actually a spell. But yeah, this was like the third reincarnation of this particular character. He was riding a dragon, and he got uppercutted by a tower while falling.
That's how we do. Yep. Okay, but so moving on from that, but sticking in the mic vein here, we got some Yakuza news. So I'm probably going to slaughter this, but Ryoga Gotoku Studios? Yes, they have officially announced Lost Judgment, which is, I have the first Judgment game, and it's straight Yakuza. It's like Yakuza meets, oh my gosh, why I'm blanking, the Ace Attorney game.
The lawyer?
Yes, right.
Yes, Phoenix Wright. So it kind of is those together, right? It's weird because you're not really just, you know, a Yakuza gangster punching stuff. Like, you're working for the law this time. You're the good guy, and you're like detectiving stuff and like interviewing people. So that's just, it came out in 2018, and so they're basically saying that is going to be a continuation of the classic Yakuza style gameplay, because Yakuza is going to transition into a turn-based RPG.
Yes.
And I want to get Mike's thoughts.
So I really like that. I think they should do another Fist of the North Star. That's just my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played Fist of the North Star, but it is considered to be in the Yakuza canon. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that, but it doesn't surprise me.
So, as a side note, all the Yakuza games, including Judgment, they have a secret boss. Mm-hmm. And the secret boss is part of like an assassin's clan. And they made the main character of Yakuza like their nemesis, because the main character in Yakuza, Kiryu, and now I want to say Nishiki, but that's not the same character. Ichiban. They're the only ones who can actually like defeat this like secret assassin clan. Anyway, that's here now. But in Judgment, you fight this boss as well. So that includes Judgment in the world of Yakuza, which we knew. But in Fist of the North Star, that same assassin character has somehow achieved immortality and decides to challenge the main character, Fist of the North Star, and he claims, like, I have fought during the times when dragons walked the earth, which that's referring to the main characters of Yakuza. They got dragons on their backs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Fist of the North Star is in the Yakuza universe, so they should do another Fist of the North Star.
I like that. But this is the one that I really wanted to get into. And you'll see why very soon. So the producer, Daisuke Sato, recently appeared in an interview as part of Sega's 60th anniversary. He was asked if there was another Sega series that he would like to work on, and he quickly said that he would love to get involved with Sonic the Hedgehog at least once in his career. So, Mike, if you were designing a Sonic the Hedgehog / Yakuza style game, what would that look like?
Do you want a serious answer, or do you want Tequila Sunrise answer?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so serious answer. The creator of Yakuza, he has got level design down, right? He's got a compact world that's really... like, it's open world, but it's a small open world, and it's dense.
Right. It's like in sectors rather than full open.
Right.
And I feel like they did the same thing kind of in God of War to an extent.
So picture this, right? Picture Sonic 2, the opening world, Green Hills, right?
Mm-hmm.
So put that put like a sector of green hills, and probably like, I don't know, so big by so wide, and it's green hills, but it is so dense with different types of speed tracks and stuff that when Sonic has to do something, you know, he's traveling through this green hills sector, but just down a different path.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But it's semi-open world, yet closed and contained. With some missions or levels perhaps going on their own level segments, right? That is awesome. So you have kind of like a hub world that's actually designed for speed, in the same vein as Yokohama, which is the main hub for the newest game, or Kamurocho, which is the main game for Kiryu's Yakuza game. And it has so much to do in it. So that's how I seriously consider it. But as far as Tequila Sunrise, I want Sonic to be in a gray suit, and he's got to have like a fucked up tattoo on his back, because the tattoo artist couldn't like actually do the pins and
because of the spines,
of the spines. He's just like, damn, you know. And so, like, you can see like a slight discoloration that looks like Sonic got bruised. And it's just kind of like all over his back. But it's going to go like into slow motion action fighting. So when you fight other enemies, they move incredibly slow. You can activate like a power, and you can do like several rapid punches or supersonic powers and stuff like that going in slow motion. But when you fight another speedy enemy like Shadow, or if you fight like Robotnik in a speed-enhanced suit, when you go into that speed mode, that special power, they fight at normal speed. And so there's things like just really deep combat and an awesome soundtrack that you didn't know who you were until after you listened to that music. And you kind of like rediscover yourself, and you just listen to it at the gym. That's what I want.
Okay, so I'm going to should I start off with my serious, or should I start off with my ridiculous one?
Yes.
Okay. So my serious one is what I think of, Detective Pikachu but Sonic. Right?
Okay.
Where it's kind of like a Yakuza setting, but it's Sonic going around trying to solve mysteries. Like it's a Yakuza game, but it's Sonic.
That's like Judgment, right?
Yeah.
Mysteries? Yeah.
And so it's a little bit of what they've already done, but I think that would be great. You could do the human partner. You cannot do the human partner. You could do a created person that's working with Sonic. Like, you could just straight...
No human romances, right?
No. Yeah. That's very 06. Sonic 06.
That's 06 territory. Okay.
And Sonic has regular legs, not creepy human legs.
Alternate skins with the original Sonic the Movie skin.
No!
The original one. Like, that's one of the skins you can get in New Game Plus.
That's your platinum trophy there, Captain Platinum.
Yes.
He's got these creepy eyes and these weird hands.
So my goofy one would be Sonic is collecting the rings because he needs to get new outfits for all of the girl characters.
He just kicks the shit out of random people, pulls the rings off their hands.
Yes.
And then, it's just like, that's my fiance's ring.
Yeah.
I gotta go fast and you leave.
And he uses it to give to the ladies at his brothel. And we can pull Lil Sonic out of retirement to write the dialogue.
Sonic has a brothel?
Yeah, in my fake game he does.
What does he do? Like
someone's
waiting for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, gotta go fast, and
he just
walks in the door and walks out, and he's like, hey, that was good.
Yep. Like, listen.
It's just like,
It's a general idea. We'll let Lil Sonic work out the details.
All right.
So for the dance mini games, is he going fast or is he going slow?
Sonic like just, karaoke.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, there was disco. There was disco dancing mini games.
Yeah.
In Yakuza Zero.
Yeah. So is he going like super fast so you can't see him, or is it like they got to go slow mo?
Super power up. Everything goes down slow, and you press. You continue with the dance. And then, or like time freezes, and when you're going fast, and you press in button combinations during like you know like a 5 second period, and then when the game resumes, it shows them doing it super quick, and then like those are all bonus points during like a small section of the song.
I am down,
Sega. I am available for consulting.
Are they gonna do? Are you gonna have the claw game in there and have like actual relics from the old like Sonic games that you can pull out?
Yeah, yeah,
that would
be
cool.
And guess what? You can go into like a hotel lobby and sit down and play Yakuza on a PlayStation, which is the opposite of you can go play the old Sega arcade games in Yakuza. So that's
there you go. There you go.
So next we have Ubisoft announced there's a new free-to-play game called The Division Heartland. It's planned for release on PlayStation, Xbox, PC in the 2021-2022 window. No real details have been offered besides that. So it's very unclear what kind of game The Division Heartland will be beyond its free-to-play and Ubisoft saying an all-new perspective on the universe in a new setting. Have any of you guys played any of the Division games?
Mm-mm.
I have not.
When I worked for the Air Force, almost every single military guy played The Division. And yeah. It made me not want to play The Division. I didn't.
So Pat, you've played Ghost Recon.
Yes.
You know that at the very beginning of the game, when they let you choose the different settings, like there's the immersion mode and then like the standard mode?
Mm-hmm.
The standard mode is basically the Division, where it's like it's there's a lot of RPG elements to it, like, oh, you can't use that gun because you need to level up to be able to use that gun, or you have this piece of armor for your helmet, right, but you can't use it yet because you're not that level. Whereas if you play in experience mode, you kill a guy, you pick his gun up, you have his gun. You know, he's got a cool helmet, you take his helmet. The Division is a lot like that, a lot of the RPG. And it is more of a third person over the shoulder type thing than say because you're in third person in Ghost Recon, but you do go into first person when you aim. So it does have a lot of, it does to me personally has feels of Gears of War to it.
Okay. I would like it then.
But I am not I don't know if I wasn't a fan of that because I kind of dabbled playing The Division and then waiting for the next Ghost Recon game to come out. And then when Ghost Recon came out and it was like just like The Division with all this, you know, stuff that I didn't think was part of that style of gameplay, and apparently everybody did because it was bombing, and then they went and reintroduced like, oh hey, here's the game mode you guys all wanted, and then you know the ratings shot right back up, like, okay, this is the game that should have been there at launch. But I'm interested to see what it's like because most of The Division takes place in like the big cities, and this looks like it's going to be in like, you know, the Midwest, like small town America. So it'll be interesting. I'm just confused. Is like, is it just another Division game, or is it like a baby expansion that feels like a small Division game? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I haven't played the games either. So,
well, this is the next news story is something that you were. You wanted to bring up.
Before we go there, just super quick on Ubisoft. Like, Far Cry 6 is delayed again. Do we know what's going on with Ubisoft?
I don't know. I know there's obviously the industry-wide, like, issues with the coronavirus and shutting down and slowing down work pace and all that stuff. But nothing, like, specific. but they're still pumping out regular updates for Ghost Recon.
Yeah. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seemed odd, right? Like, several things have been canceled, and one thing I know that was pushed out was the Far Cry 6. Not that I'm looking to play it yet, just I've never really gotten into those games, but I was talking to the GameStop people when I was getting when I was pre-ordering Mass Effect earlier this week, and they were like, "Oh yeah, you didn't have that pre-order?" But yeah, they got pushed out. And then we were talking about how Lego Star Wars got pushed out too to an indefinite date. We were just like, "What's going on? Like, these games were supposed to be out."
I really want to play the Legendary Edition. I haven't played Mass Effect all the way through yet. I need to do that.
I have never played them, so I'm looking forward to this. But I've got to crank out a few other games first before we get there.
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess that can lead into the next story. Do you want me to take it from here, Luke?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so Sony announced that we've got the PlayStation Player Celebration Days of Play going on again this year. So registration started on May 11th, and it goes through the 31st. So these are like week-long stretch goals. You do have to register for them. So stage one starts on the 18th, which is next Tuesday, if I remember right. I don't have a calendar in front of me. I can click here, I guess, right? Yes, Tuesday. So if this goes up on Monday, it'll be the day after. So they're looking for 2.4 million games played and 7.2 million trophies earned in that time frame. And they have some stretch goals. So then they've got prizes for each of the 3 weeks. So it's a chance to earn some PlayStation themes, dynamic themes, some avatars. So it's kind of cool to bring the community together, I think. So yeah, I think you just have to play any game for an hour or so and it counts towards it. So give me a reason to go play some.
Like, you need it.
I have been so bad about playing on the PS5 lately, or the 4. I haven't been playing a lot.
You also had a little bit of news about their Pokemon cards.
Yeah, if I've been frequenting the Targets, I also collect the action figures. So I was out looking for some G.I. Joes. They've got the exclusive Target classified series, their Cobra Island figures. But I guess the big thing right now, and I've actually seen this at my Target, is people lining up for trading cards and Pokemon cards. The lady was they were saying that the lady that does the trading cards, she just gets swarmed. Like, people have found out kind of when she shows up, and people are now just going crazy, which usually you see like baseball, basketball, and hockey cards just kind of sit around a little bit, it seemed, in previous years.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think people are opening them up on Twitch, you know, showing their pulls. And then with Pokemon, they're trying to see if they get the rare pulls. And then I do believe, like, people are also swarming the card grading companies, because everyone's pulling out their 20-year-old like original Charizards and being like, "Hey, what's this worth?" And I've seen some crazy
never
numbers.
Worth what they want it to be worth.
But yeah, as of today, May 14th, Target has signs up that they are not selling trading cards or Pokemon cards. They still had Magic cards out. But Pokemon and the sports cards, they are currently not selling.
I wonder what caused the influx of that.
Not selling, or everybody just swarming to buy cards?
Yeah, everybody all of a sudden buying cards.
I've heard, like I said, there's people doing stuff on Twitch and TikTok where they're opening their packs and,
right, but
you know, getting people to watch and pay, and then...
I mean, there has been a ton of that already.
Yeah, so... I don't understand, but yeah, there are no Pokemon cards at any Target that I went to today. Out of the two I went to. That's crazy. No, three.
And there was a thing they're saying that Walmart was going to be doing the same thing, but then I guess that was debunked. Walmart said that they're like, "No, there's no plans, you know, we've seen the increase, but we're going to, you know, look at the things and see it. What changes, if any, we will even do." But
yeah, I mean, I went in on a Monday afternoon, and there was just people lined up all along the front waiting for the lady to stock the sports trading cards. And I was like, "Are they here for the Pokemon stuff?" She was like, "Oh no, they are all here for the sports ones," which I get to after I do all the Pokemon stuff. And in previous weeks, Target had limited to three packs, so three items. So you could buy like a tin or the bigger packs of like Pokemon stuff. They had several different sets, you know, they're not the booster packs, but they're the bigger ones that come with other things. And it was like three per person. And I was grabbing one for a friend and the lady came, she's like, it's three per person. I'm like, I have one. And then like Target employee came up. They're like, it's three per person. I said, okay, I have one. And they were just very much enforcing it throughout the whole registers and upfront area. They were like, oh, it's just three. You can't have more than three. And I said, I
should have just held it over your head.
I did. I'm like, I got one. And then I said, I understand for like the big tins. And that's what I think people are looking for some of those was the tins and the boxes. I was like, yeah, one box is fine. But if there's like booster packs or whatever, and there's still 100 of them on the, why can't I buy three or five? Why is it one? Cause that week it was three and then they've knocked it down to one. So like you can get one thing at each of cards. Like, it didn't matter what it was, just you could get one. I was like, well, what if I had two kids and they each wanted a pack? They were like, you can only buy one.
Right.
Like, but then yeah, I just went through self-checkout and you could scan three of them if you wanted to, cause it's what you do. But, not that I've really collected a lot of Pokemon stuff, but yeah, it was just interesting, you know? And, you know, I know the friends that do, and I'd be like, hey, Target's stocked. And they're like, oh, yeah, they have good prices. Grab me that.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so actually, while you're at it, Jamie, why don't you tell us some of the games you've been playing
lately? So, still playing Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. I'll knock that out super quick. So the big thing was is Disney just started the Bad Batch. So they added four of those five tunes to the game. So we got Echo, Hunter, Wrecker, and Tech. So those are the four tunes they gave us from that. And they're a really good team. And then they've started they gave us the first set of requirements for the next Galactic Legend that's coming, who is Jedi Master Kenobi. So that's episode 3 Kenobi is what he looks like. So I think it's middle of next week we get the next set after that, and then a couple weeks later they're giving us the final set of requirements to chase after him. So they're just dropping one Galactic Legend at a time now, not two, they said. So, and now people are speculating if it's Fallen Anakin, a.k.a. Lord Vader, not Darth Vader, but Lord Vader, like Anakin with the yellow eyes. You know, the one that, you know, with the Youngling Slayer 2000. So that's one of the speculations, or a Grievous or a Maul could make sense to go aside with Kenobi for the dark side. So, but most people are hedging towards Lord Vader or Fallen Anakin. So that's taken up my time. I've been walking a lot more. So I've been doing Pokemon Go with Uncanny Ryab. So I picked that up. I haven't played it since 2016, and he was like, "You have so many 2016 Pokemon." He's like, "Don't get rid of them. They could become lucky Pokemon." And I was like, "Okay."
You're so like, there's the Pokemons.
Yeah, I was like, "I'll do it because I'm out walking a little bit more." Other than that, I got through a decent part of Age of Calamity. Still working through that when I get time. And Hyrule Warriors. There's just so much side stuff to do in the Hyrule Warriors that it's still just a nice pick it up and play it for like 20 minutes.
Right.
I tried the G.I. Joe game on my PS4, and man, it is a different type of shooter than I'm used to. It's really fast paced for me. I don't know if it's I'm getting older or if it's the controls or both. I don't know if you ever have that happen.
Oh,
you know, be like, I swear I'm aiming at that, like, and then the dude doesn't just stand there. He starts zigging and zagging, and I'm like, and then the controls just move, like, and I'm like, is this like Fortnite? Like, it was decent. It's not mind-blowing, you know, amazing game, but it's kind of fun. Like, I was like, this is kind of cool, but...
You think you enjoy it because you're a fan of the franchise?
Yeah, so it's just like one of those. I just threw it in, and I basically got it for free. So it was on sale, and then somehow it worked out that I got it for free at GameStop based on credits and whatever else. So like, if you do this and these coupons, it's free. And I was like, all right. They're like, so you have nothing to lose. If you hate it, just bring it back. I was like, okay. True. So I played the first four levels, I think. So yeah. It was decent, just a different type of shooter, and I don't play those games a lot lately. Right. What else? I played Pink Man. A friend told me to pick that up. That was a super easy platinum. That was my latest platinum. It took all of like an hour because you only have to get to like level 50. It's kind of like, it felt like Super Meat Boy because you just have to traverse stuff and not get hit. And so it was an interesting indie game. So I played that real quick. What else have I been playing? I started back into Let's Go Eevee because I just traveled last weekend for the first time and I took my Switch, so I can't take the PS4 or 5.
Happy CDC guidance, everybody. I'm just going to throw that out there. I know people are have different opinions. But anyway, congratulations on your first travel.
Yeah, I went home and saw my mom for Mother's Day, so it was nice to be around family again. It had been a while, so.
Mm-hmm.
It was two Christmases ago was the last time I was home and saw everybody. Mm-hmm. So. So yeah, Let's Go Eevee. I got through. I'm at the Rock Tunnel, so I made decent progress. It's fun nostalgia replaying because it's basically the first game redone differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed the nostalgia there.
Yeah. I had Let's Go Pikachu. So
yeah. What else? I don't have my list in front of me, so it's taking just a second. But that's mainly it. I just installed RE8, so I was planning on trying to play that and stream that this weekend. I know DMM, Dungeon Master Mike, has already beat the game, so.
Yeah.
I'll talk about that.
Yeah. And I've already had someone, like, spoil part of the game for me, but they're like, it's a Resident Evil game. You know, like, this and this is going to happen. And I was like, the game came out on Friday.
Right.
It's Tuesday, and you're like, well, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like. Maybe we'll do a dive in
on that on our next episode because I plan on picking it up this weekend and just plowing through it too. So,
yeah, so I do want to finish that up, which I've heard it's about 10 hours. I think I sent to us in the group chat the length of every Resident Evil game that's numbered.
I did see that, and number 8 was like the 4th longest.
Yeah.
Behind 5, 6, and 4.
Nice.
Yeah. Because I think 6 was the longest at 21 hours or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Is that
right? Because something they had different campaigns.
4 different campaigns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did that as our game of the month. Right. But I do want to get back, and I want to finish Ni No Kuni at some point. I've been like, I need to get back to Yakuza 0. I need to finish that game. I stopped playing Valhalla. Like literally.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in with Dungeon Master Mike. My work. We're on mandatory overtime, mm-hmm. so. I'm doing that a lot.
I can empathize with that, my friend. I have not been able to play our Curse of Strahd campaign with Luke and the Nerd Dome group because of overtime. So I empathize.
And I believe there's a new Valhalla event going on this weekend, right? Or started this weekend?
There's a new DLC, Wrath of the Druids, that came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today.
I never finished the game.
Recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's mostly it. I've got the list of things I want to finish before. I want to finish Avengers, and that's now on PS5. And then I want to finish Ni No Kuni, and then Ratchet & Clank is out next month. So I'm like, there's just so many games coming.
Right. All right, Panda Pat, what have you been playing?
Me! Okay, so I've been like getting hardcore into the Switch. But I complained because I got Mortal Kombat on Switch and then I didn't like it. And then I watched the Mortal Kombat movie and I was big into Mortal Kombat, so I beat it on Switch.
Nice, congrats.
I know. It's been 10 years at least since I beat a Mortal Kombat game. I haven't really been interested in any of the ones since Armageddon. So that was nice. And then I picked up the DLC and I'm about halfway through it, which is fun. Even though I bought Melina separately and then I, bought her again, which was dumb on my part. I should have just waited. But yeah, I like it a lot. Once you get past like the transition from the movie mode to the gameplay mode is when the graphics are bad, but it's only for a little bit. You can get over it. So,
and you've been playing that in handheld mode. I wonder what that would be like up on the TV.
It's the same.
Is it?
I tried I was hoping that it would be better, so I tried it, and it's just the same, unfortunately. But yeah, so I bought that and beat it. Very nice. I did also get a new computer. that I can't afford. but I've always wanted to play Gears Tactics just because it's a Gears game. I don't like RTSs. And I finally have a computer that can run it, and I download it, and it's like, may not be strong enough to run this. And I'm like, that's bullshit. I'm going to play it on lowest settings. And so I started playing it, and it's not too bad once I got the hang of it, because I just normally don't have the patience for RTSs. But I started liking it. It was pretty good. It really heats up my computer, though, so I can't play it for very long without my computer getting too hot. Other than that, I've been playing Pokemon. I just picked up the expansion for the Sword and Shield, but I haven't gotten to it yet. I've been slowly learning how to play the new Pokemon on Switch. I figured out how to get to the GTS in Pokemon Home, which I was excited about because I did a bunch of that in X and Y. That's all I did is trade all over the GTS. So I played that. I've tried a couple other games on my new computer, but for the most part, it's games that I've already played.
More Sims porn.
So, no, I can't. I can't. I'm going to play Sims with the Sims porn on my old laptop because I can ruin that one now. I don't want to ruin the new one yet.
I was actually going to ask if that's what you were using your old computer for.
So well, I'm going to now. I tried to get rid of it because it bogged down my computer big time. But if that's the only thing I'm going to do on it, it'll work.
You're taking away the sensor bars, so it should be less memory, right? You're
right, definitely. That's how that works.
Just take everything else off except Sims and porn mods. Like, that's it. That's the only thing on your old computer.
So the Wicked Whims download is just a base download for Sims that makes it so you can start downloading skins and animations and stuff like that. So you just need the basic Wicked Whims before you download any custom content or anything else like that. So when you download that, you don't think you're going to have any weird Sims stuff, but all of the settings are turned off, so they automatically get naked every time. They automatically have, a hard on or whatnot. Like it's just basic. Like, they get, yes, I don't know. it's very alarming when you first start it because you're like, oh, I just downloaded some skins. No, like, the porn is real, and it's just the base.
The porn is real.
Yeah.
The cake is a lie, but the porn is real.
Yeah.
Dungeon Master Mike, what have you been playing?
Okay, so really quick, in honor of our two listeners that are D&D fans, I have one more piece of news before I get into what I've been playing.
Mm-hmm.
But as an encouragement to our listeners to give tabletop gaming a try, and you don't have to give Dungeons & Dragons a try, but, that's kind of like the staple in the industry right now. There's a new book coming out this week. When I say this week, I mean next Friday, which means it's like going to be 3 days by the time people hear this podcast to when it actually comes out, called Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft, which is, I like to think of it as an expansion of Curse of Strahd, so that when we resume our Curse of Strahd campaign, I will be including this. But this book, from what I understand and from my connections, this is a really, really awesome material book. It has more character creation options. You can create, I have vampire character. You can create, to give you kind of an idea, Luke, since you have a little bit of experience in Curse of Strahd.
Mm-hmm.
So Curse of Strahd takes place in a land called Barovia. And Barovia is a category of dimensions called, basically, they're within like the Ravenloft category. They are horror-themed dimensions. And there's different, there's multiple of them. Each dimension has a dark lord. And that's not Strahd. It's kind of like a god of that dark dimension. And they have different themes of dark dimensions. They've decided to go a little bit more of a different route. Definitely less racist, but more high fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
they also have like warnings and kind of like guidelines of this is how you scare and not scar your players. And some like really dipshit people are like, oh, they took the bite out of it. No, 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 my friend. No, you're not my friend. But they for example, there is a realm featured in this that they call Harakur, and that is like the Egyptian horror.
Ooh.
And the Dark Lord of Harakur is, and I'm going to mispronounce this wrong, but
Derek.
Onktepot. In all this particular dark dimension has been featured before in previous editions, and this Dark Lord has been featured as a mummy with like, you know, the bandages falling off of it and everything. You know, we have to understand that when we draw mummies in that like caricature style, we're kind of like taking an entire culture's burial ceremonies and turning it into horror, right? Like, that kind of sucks. So they took that particular Dreadlord and gave him like a high fantasy like redesign. So when they said they go more high fantasy, that's kind of what they're doing. He's got jewelry, he's decked out, he looks undead, very Call of Cthulhu style, but that's what they're kind of making high, like high fantasy was just kind of like the vibe of this book. But there are tons of things that are useful in this book that you can utilize for other games, because Dungeons and Dragons is going the route of like descriptive content rather than hard rule content. And that's kind of like the route it's been going for a while now, which means you can buy this book and you can apply it to any type of horror tabletop game. So it's called Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft, and I highly recommend it. I will buy it day one. Anyway, so that is dedicated to our two new listeners. I'm sorry, I'm a very large Tequila Sunrise in with a giant mug that has Dungeons and Dragons printed directly on it. So I don't remember our listeners' names. What were their names?
Nick and Alana.
Nick and Alana, you're really awesome. Be sure to let us know like what like if you play more than Dungeons and Dragons, let us know what games you play. But if you are in Dungeons and Dragons, let us know what campaign you're playing, or if you're making your own homebrew world, like that's totally cool. But now to the games that I'm playing.
Yes.
We did not discuss this, Luke, on the last episode. Mm-hmm. So a lot has happened. I finished Yakuza 0, and I have a sorrow in my heart. because it's done. You know, like I described this before as a chocolate cake that you like to savor, and I don't know what happened, but I slammed that cake into my mouth and I cried as I was eating it. So I demolished that game. I completely like finished it in less than a week from where I was at. I mean, it's fine. I'm just going to go back to where I was in the classic Yakuza series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in kind of like a droll. I heard Yakuza starting around 4 and 5, it gets kind of a little bit of a slog, and then 6 picks up. So I'm kind of in the middle of that right now. I do want to play Judgment. I'm looking forward to that. And Fist of the North Star. But I'm very sad that Yakuza 0 is gone now. I did everything that I wanted to do. This was the first game that I actually beat the secret boss, which I want to tell that story. So I finished the game, and I was 10 levels above the recommended level because, again, I was just plowing through this thing. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go through the secret dungeon. I found out that this secret dungeon was available in the original game when it was released in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I demolished it, and I was like, the secret boss can't be this easy. There's no way he can be this easy. Like, he was tough, but no, it wasn't what I was expecting. And then I found out that after you beat it, they tacked on, in the American release, a new secret dungeon that's only accessible once you defeat the first secret dungeon. And that new secret dungeon was once DLC in Japan that they just rolled into the main game when it released worldwide. And so the moment I beat that secret dungeon, I got a text from the secret boss, and it was like, all right, no, seriously, I'm going to play for reals this time. Go through the back door, and we'll really hammer it out. And I was like, cool. And I was level 70. I fought the first guy, and I got my ass handed to me on a platter. Every single enemy in this second secret dungeon has a boss level, like a boss level form of strength.
Mm-hmm.
Every single encounter that you run into, you have to like meticulously plan out your strategy. And I was just like, oh dang, okay, what do I do? What equipment should I? What accessories should I equip? What summons should I use? Because I couldn't even make a dent into the first enemy. Eventually, I figured out what I needed to do, and I beat the secret boss of the second secret dungeon, and it was the most fulfilling boss fight I have had since Final Fantasy VIII's Omega Weapon. It was just so good. I loved it. I don't want to spoil it, because this is something very special. But I will have to like send a video into the chat. But the final boss actually summons allies, and you're just like, "You serious? Those allies are gonna like wipe the floor with my face." Like, mm-hmm. It says without spoiling too much. So it was intense. So I finished Yakuza 0. I am currently. Oh, and then I also bought Resident Evil Village, and I'm biting my finger if you can see me, like through the computer. I'm really sad that Vampire Lady, you know, Bay. Has a limited amount of time.
Yeah, Bay. AKA Bay.
Yeah,
Bay, Lady D.
Yeah.
Holy hell. There is a mod that you can download for this game where you get a fly swatter to replace your knife. And I have watched videos over and over of people sneaking up to her ass and spanking her with a fly swatter.
Yes, this is what mods are for.
I mean, like, you know there is going to be an NSFW version mod coming out.
I mean, there already probably is. There probably already is.
I've checked Nexus mods and I didn't see it. But I have seen so much demand for it. So
has Panda Pat found it though?
Yeah, she'd be the one to find it.
Yay!
But I loved that game. I am on my second playthrough. So when you play the game, if you don't buy like the crappy Trauma Pack DLC add-on, which doesn't really give you anything new, so don't buy it. When you play the game, you have three levels of difficulty: casual, normal, and hardcore. I beat the game on hardcore because I've read that normal is too easy, but hardcore is like the sweet spot, especially if you played 7 and you like Resident Evil and you like a challenge, which I'm a Dark Souls type of guy, and so I went to hardcore mode. And so that was fun. It was aggravating at times, but it was fun. I really enjoyed hardcore mode. I beat the game and I got a new difficulty level called Valley of Shadows, which is available if you buy the Trauma Pack. So now I'm doing New Game Plus with Valley of Shadows with all my old weapons, and I still die every 30 seconds. I have no idea how you can beat Valley of Shadows on a first playthrough without being fully equipped in a New Game Plus. So I'm currently playing Valley of Shadows fully equipped, buying all the extra weapons and stuff. And I'm currently stuck on the first boss, and it's a lot of fun. But I have, see, my first playthrough, the game timer said I was like 10 hours and 33 minutes, but I was really like 21 hours on my Steam counter because, you know, I would leave the game paused or I would die. If you die and you go back to your save point, it doesn't
reset the time.
It doesn't say that. It resets the time. And I died many a time. And so, like, 10 hours and 33 minutes is really not reflective of the amount of time I spent on a single playthrough. I think my playthrough was closer to 20 hours. But I'm currently trying to go through a Valley of Shadows. But the thing is, I have other games, you know? So I'm not sure if I'm going to finish Valley of Shadows. I'm just going to try and enjoy Resident Evil Village and enjoy Lady D. I think I will finish her section of the game, and then I'm going to call it good. Because there are a couple of things I don't like about it, but you know what? If you really like a game, don't be afraid to criticize it.
Right.
So I do have critiques of Village. I don't think any of the other villains come close to Lady D. I really hate the Frankenstein guy. He bugs the shit out of me. I don't know if it was the direction or if it was the way how the voice actor went, but like his voice just... No, I would rather delete your character and give me twice as much Lady D. I think everyone would have preferred that.
Right.
But Evil Village is a fun game. I would really recommend it.
Okay, cool.
So I finished Resident Evil Village. Right now I am currently playing two JRPGs. I'm playing Legend of Heroes Trials of the Sky, which was made in 2004. It's a little archaic, but it's like an 8-game series, and each game is like 50 hours. So it's just massive. It's just massive. So I started that. I'm about 15 hours in the first game. And then I'm also playing Fire Emblem Three Houses on the Switch, which I'm 20 hours into that game, and that game can be replayed 3 times. I don't know if I'm going to replay the other, like, because the point is, like, you go through one playthrough and you align yourself with one house out of 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going to have it in to play the other 2 houses. I really want to. I don't even have time to play Dungeons and Dragons as much as I want. So
right.
I don't know if I'm going to.
Okay.
But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay.
I do want to get into Judgment before Lost Judgment. Yeah.
I think you'll like it.
But I know I will love it. I know I will love it.
Okay, so for me, surprise, surprise, I've been playing Xenoverse 2. but that's been spoken of repeatedly. I have been actually kind of bouncing back and forth between Call of Duty, Cold War, and Modern Warfare. I refuse to play Warzone because I hate those free-to-play Battle Royale stuff. I dislike it. But I've been bouncing back and forth there. And I thought I was, because you know you have your kill-death ratio and that. And I was like, oh man, I'm not doing great. And then I saw this big article about the, like, what the average KD in that is like 0.093 or something like that, and then the high end is like 1.2, where it's basically, you know, you get an elimination to every one of yours, and that's about average in those games. And I'm at like a 1.1, so I was like, oh, I'm on the upper side of average. So I felt it emboldened me to keep playing and like do the stupid like little gun unlock things, like where I had to run around and in 10 consecutive matches I had to kill 3 people by hitting them with the butt of my gun, which was very hard to do when you're trying to run across a massive map to hit somebody with a gun as they're shooting at you. I was like, I'm gonna get him. But so I eventually got that. But the other game, I've only played the tutorial so far, but I picked up My Hero One's Justice 2. It's a 3D fighter, like kind of along the lines of Fighters, Dragon Ball. And I've been having fun with it. I like the fight mechanics have been all right so far.
Are you playing? I'm sorry. Did you say you were playing Fighters?
I'm playing My Hero One's Justice, the second one, which is a lot like Fighters. But it's been really good. I've been like, again, I played just through the tutorial and like the first couple missions. So I haven't got to the really, really hard stuff, but like the fighting mechanics I like, because it's where Fighters is more of your, you know, 2D fighter. This one's more of a 3D fighter. So it's got that Xenoverse feel to it, which I'm very comfortable with. So that makes it a lot easier for me. But it's not quite as good. If you played don't know, let's say a Jump Force, kind of how it's like a 3D map or like the old Dragon Ball, like Budokai games. It feels a lot like that. But if you like the anime, My Hero Academia, and you like fighters, this is perfect for you. And I was just looking up like its ratings and stuff. Like a Steam, it's getting like 9 out of 10. It's like 4.5 out of 5 at GameStop. So it's a pretty well received game. But that's really what I've been playing. And I kind of want we're at our time limit, but real quick, I just want to go through and hit some of the highlights of the of games coming out next month. So here we go. So we get the Elder Scrolls Online Blackwood DLC comes out June 1st. World of Warcraft: The Burning Crusade Classic comes out on June 1st as well. Jamie, for you, you finally can play Tour de France 2021. That comes out.
Yeah, buddy.
You get the option to
to shoot up the roids before the.
Yes.
Can I take performance enhancing drugs before I leave? Thank you.
Can I blood dope, please?
Right. Chivalry 2 is coming out on June 8th. The Elder Scrolls Online will be available for PS5 and Series X on June 8th, along with the same day that's when the Blackwood DLC comes out. The Final Fantasy VII Remake Integrate Rage comes out June 10th for PS5. Ninja Gaiden Master Edition is coming out on Switch on June 10th. Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart comes out on June 11th for PS5. Alex Kidd in Miracle World, which is old Sega game that comes out, old Sega franchise, new game, comes out on June 24th. The Legend of Mana comes out on PC, PS4, and Switch on the 24th. Mario Golf comes out on the 25th. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 comes out for Switch on the 25th as well. And that Solar Ash game is coming out, but it doesn't really have it's a to be announced in June. But yeah, you guys have anything else you want to hit before we wrap this thing up? I take your deafening silence as a no. All right, guys.
I will make some pancakes right now. I will think of you three as I do it. I'm going to add chocolate chips. And I'm also going to mix it with hot water so that the chocolate chips melt. And it makes the pancakes chocolate. Because you guys are so sweet.
Aww. Aww. There's that tequila sunrise.
Wait. Is he talking to us or is he talking to our listeners?
Yes. all right, guys. Thanks for listening. Senior Captain Platinum.
Everybody, game harder.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey there, my name is Tyler.
I'm Mary.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm Kylie.
And we'd like to invite you to join us in the Fortress of Comictude podcast, where we discuss such topics as...
Creator Focus, where we pull a comic creator's name out of a bucket and talk about their history and books they've worked on.
We also do what's called the Comic Book Club, where we pick a book, we page by page, and analyze how cool it is.
And Was It Really That Bad, where we take an old comic book movie from the past that got horrible reviews and decide if it was truly, really that bad.
Plus creator interviews, movie reviews, top 5 lists, and so much more. So join us in the Fortress of Comictude.
This show is part of the Geek Nerd Network.
Geek Nerd Network.
Find more shows like it at geeknerdnetwork.com.
This is Jen.